Your Bibles, if you would please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God today. And as you find your place here, let me remind just of several things that are taking place here at Cross Point Baptist Church. I want to invite us back this evening, tonight at 6 p.m. For our regular service time. This evening, we're going to be partaking in the Lord's Supper this evening. I'll be bringing a message out of the New Testament, looking more into this subject. And tonight, I want you to take part in the Lord's Supper. We'll also this evening be taking a benevolence offering. And this is an offering that we'll be taking, so anything that is not designated in the box in the back will go towards a deacon's fund. And we use that here at Cross Point Baptist Church to help those who perhaps are going through a tough time in their life. And if you would like to be a part of that, that will be this evening as well. And then let me remind you, I know we've been talking a lot about it. We've been passing out and inviting folks. But next week is Resurrection Sunday. And how many are thankful that Jesus Christ is risen? Would you say amen? And we know that he is. You say, well, were you there? I was not there. You say, well, then how do we know? Because the Bible tells us that he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. We're going to be singing songs about the resurrection. And we're going to have a guest speaker here with us. And let's be inviting folks to come to Cross Point Baptist Church and to have a part. And I know of two that Carrie and I have been able to get and are committed in coming this next week. And we're excited about having some visitors here. And what it just really encourage us as believers to be inviting those to come to church. And Easter Sunday, I don't know why this is, but there are many who never attend church, but they will attend on a Sunday or on a Easter Sunday and at Christmas time. Sometimes at Mother's Day, we're able to get those moms in here, or it's, you know, I feel guilty and mom goes to church, so I go. And, but those usually are the three holidays that we see where people come into church. And so this next week, as we have visitors here, let's be encouraged by those who come in. And I'm not sure who will be at the welcome desk, but if it's the Hughes family, maybe ask them, where can we help? We want to have plenty of people at the back helping folks to come in and to get them seated. And if you don't mind, maybe having someone sit with you, and you see that there's visitors in the back, invite them to come. And hey, why don't you come sit with us? We're the Shepherd family, and we'd love to have you. So glad that you're here today. And you're going to love Brother Schrock, who's going to be preaching for us. It is just going to be a wonderful Sunday, and we're going to have a great time. But let's be encouraged. Invite folks to church. I think just about we've gone through every one of our handout cards, our little cards that we had printed, invite cards. That's what I'm looking for. I think we've just about gone through all of those, but there are some at the bank. And then also grab some tracks on your way out. Let's invite people and be in God's house next week. It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. And once again, tonight, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, it's going to be a very solemn time, very worshipful time. And we're going to have just a wonderful time. That begins this evening at 6 o'clock. Let's all stand, if you would, please, or if your health allows you to, for the reading of God's Word here in Psalm chapter number 63. Psalm chapter and number 63. We've been here looking at this psalm for the last three Sundays, and we've been in a series now called A Journey in the Psalms. And we've been taking this and kind of going verse by verse for those of you who are visiting here with us today. And once again, we're going to continue in this passage of Scripture. So would you look with me, Psalm chapter 63. Look with me at verse number 5, Psalm chapter and number 63. Let's look at verse number 5. The Bible says this: "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." Steve, for this morning, I'd like to once again look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled A Daily Reminder. A Daily Reminder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, Savior, that we can once again just come into your house. Father, thank you, Lord, for those who are visiting here with us. Father, for those who, Lord, have made time to be with us. And Savior, I just ask that you'd once again work in our lives, that you'd work through this psalm, that, Father, you'd give us what we need today. Lord, I am so thankful for who you are. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Father, for, Lord, working in our lives this past week. Lord, I ask as we come to this psalm that, Lord, you'd give me the words to say. Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, that nothing said today would be in the flesh, but that all would be in the Spirit. Thank you, Savior, for our young people and the elderly who are here alike. Lord, generations coming together for one cause, and that is your kingdom, Savior. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you do each and every day in our hearts and in our lives. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've been looking at this psalm that we've realized over the last several weeks is often called the morning psalm. It could truly be a blessing in all of our lives. In fact, the first week as we looked at this passage of Scripture, I was even encouraging us maybe to go to this passage often in our daily lives, often in our meditation time or our devotions, going to it and gleaning from it and learning from it. David was going through a tough time in his life, as we've seen over the last several weeks, as he is now on the run and has left his throne, as Absalom has now taken over, and he's headed across the northern edge of his kingdom, and his life really is in danger. And yet, over the last several weeks, we see that this psalm is written not in a complaining spirit, but really in a praise to who God is in a very difficult time in David's life. We saw several weeks ago, first of all, looking at this passage of Scripture, we saw the priority and focus. In fact, verse number one, if you look at it with me, says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There is a focus on who God is, and this God can satisfy our lives no matter what a situation we are in life. Then we saw, number two, the power from God desired. In verse number two, it says, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. As we see David on the run in the wilderness of Judah, that this thought is so amazing that David is remembering the power of God. And once again, we emphasize that you and I ought to put high priority on the local church, put high priority in coming together and worshiping Him and praising Him, even as we see David here, who is very much missing seeing the power of God working there when they would come together in public to worship Him. Then we saw last week, number three, praise is given. Look at verse number three. It says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. We saw and reminded last week that our lips ought to praise Him. It's all about Him. Not just at church, not just one time a week, but all throughout the week, you and I coming together on our social media accounts and at work and at school and in college, that you and I ought to be seen as a people that praise Him and praise Him often. Do I understand and comprehend what the world is going through right now? Without a doubt. There are nations that are at war. There are those that are having civil unrest. Even in our nation, as more and more wickedness is exalted and the things of God, the things of this Bible, Christianity is put down. And at times, even in 2021, now even hated for the God of this Bible. Do we comprehend what the world is going through? Yes. But may you and I not be a people that is constantly complaining, constantly down, constantly have the attitude, oh, woe is me. But may you and I once again come together praising our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't have a lot to praise Him about. Yes, but you and I do have one or two things that we can. If we said it today, if you're saved, are you thankful? Say amen. And many said, yes, amen. We're thankful that God is still seated on His throne. We can thank God today that we still do live in a free country or some of our freedoms being stripped, without a doubt. But I am still thankful for the men and women who around the globe today serving in armed forces are keeping keeping you and I safe. And we walk in here today and no one's told me what to preach. And no one, I'm not threatened by speaking truth today. I am thankful for the United States of America, where we can still come in and drive our cars and park in the parking lot and walk in today and grab a hymn book or sing off the screen. And we have no threat of the government. We have no threat of going to prison. Friend, but when we start to think about it, as the old song says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. How many are thankful that we still have Jesus Christ living in our hearts? Would you say amen? We do, and we can praise Him. But then verse number 4, it says this, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. We saw last week the lifting up of hands we often see in the Word of God as God's people towards God. It's God's people praising Him, or it's God's people that are in a motion and or a position of prayer towards God. We read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. I therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The psalmist said in Psalm 134 and verse number 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Old Testament records, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. In Psalm 141 and verse number 2, let my prayer be set forth as to thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Prayer and worship is adoration to the one who is worthy. And we talked about it last week, and I don't think we have time to get back there again, but we've just begun to talk about that you and I cannot allow other denominations and or other times of period in society or in culture or in history scare you and I from getting away from the things of God's Word. May you and I always be enthusiastic about the things of God. May you and I always have real joy and excitement about the very Word of God. I said it last week, I'm just going to say it again. I think oftentimes why you and I are seeing that the world is drifting further away from God and not to the things of God, and or we're looking at our own lives and saying, you know what, we have joy. Okay, we have real peace. Oh, we have happiness. Oh, we are able to get through in dark and hard times. You and I lay our head down on the pillow at night, and you and I are able to sleep like a baby. Why is that? Well, it's because we have God. Then why doesn't the world want what you and I have? And I truly believe in the day and age we live, it's because we get excited and enthusiastic about everything else in life. But after, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to things of this Bible, we treat it as if, we just got to be, as the old saying goes, quiet as a church mouse. Well, just got to sit back and it's got to be real, no excitement here. I say I'm watching a game last night and pulled it up, and I was really cheering for Oral Roberts, whether or not I didn't have a, as they say, a dog in that fight. But I kind of like, they're the Cinderella story. They're going through. They're playing Arkansas last night. Came down to, I think it was like 3.1 seconds. And they're down by two, and they pass the ball in. And man, Oral Roberts takes it all the way down. I'm on the edge of my seat, and he shoots it, and it goes up. I even made my wife watch. That's how much I was into the game. I said, Carrie, you got to come watch the last 3.1 seconds. And Carrie came in and acted like she was excited. And he went down, and he shot. And I'm telling you, it hit the rim. I don't know if you're watching the game, but I mean, he needed like 2 inches, and Oral Roberts would have won that game. And you know what I did when I was watching that? I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, Carrie, watch this. Oh, he's dribbling down. Oh, here it goes. And he shoots it, and I jumped off the couch. I'm like, oh man, I was excited. I mean, they lost, but still, it was good. Isn't it funny that that is my attitude towards a basketball game? And yet, we can talk about a God who has always existed, who exists today, and will always exist, who came and sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross for you and for me, who shed His blood on Calvary, who we once a year really recognize and celebrate celebrate that He did not stay in the grave, but after 3 days He arose and He lives today. And yet you and I can sit back and, oh, we don't need to hear it. Oh, it's kind of boring. And, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. Friend, if we can jump up and down for a basketball game, can we not lift our hands and give praise to the one who is worthy? And that person is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rules and reigns for all of eternity. Now, that'll get you excited. A little checking up we need to do here. Can I just tell you, as long as I live, I want to praise Him and worship Him and be enthusiastic. You say, Pastor, what are you excited about? I love preaching. It's my calling in life. It's my passion. I absolutely love it. You say, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. It's just, I enjoy it. I'm telling you, when I am pastor to Foe's age, I pray that I still have a zeal and excitement and enthusiasm for what? Not the things of this world that's going to burn up and fade away. But can I tell you, may I always have an enthusiastic and joy and a love for all things the Bible. And friend, don't let anyone ever scare you out of worshiping God. Now, I'm going to say it again, just for those who just want to get together and maybe a little chat today. I'm just going to be real plain today. I'm not talking about going so far to get into flesh that we see what we see today of, you know, holy crawling around and holy barking, no joke, and holy laughter. And it's all in the flesh. And or, let me just say, tongues is not in the Word of God. That has ceased. It's not a biblical thing. There is no such thing as, and nobody understands what you're saying. I'm just telling you, friend, that was a transitional period. It was given to the apostles. It's gone, friend. We're not going to get in the Spirit here and begin doing something that is anti-Bible. But I will say this. It's okay to say amen. Well, it's okay to get a little excited. In fact, Pastor Foe leaned up after the first song, Pastor Chris, and said, "Wonderful, the matchless grace of..." I love that song because you could really put on your man voice. Amen. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea, the rolling sea. I love it. It was really kind of hard in a mask. I'll be honest. I can't wait for that day to be over. And I was just singing it. And Pastor Foe leaned up and said, "You ready to preach now?" Whew, yes. Come on. Almost canceled the rest of the service. He said, "Pastor Chris, move out of the way. Let's get..." Why? Because we're excited. The things of God ought to excite us. Visitors coming in the back. Somebody get excited about that. Baptismal waters being stirred and kids getting saved and God working on Wednesday nights and us worshiping Him and songs and hymns and spiritual songs and people being discipled. And listen, friend, I'm just here to tell you, we can get all excited about the things of this world, but I think it is about time, no matter what season we're in, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what's taking place, whether at home or at work or with our body and our health. Can I just tell you, friend, when David wrote this psalm, it's not that he was sitting on his throne having a heyday. He is on the run for his life, and yet he still said, "I'm going to lift my hands in worship and adoration." Why? Because no matter what you and I are going through, He still deserves our praise. Still deserves it. You see, there's a praise that is given here. But number four is where we're going to concentrate our time today. Number four, if you want to write this down. A personal satisfaction is heard. A personal satisfaction is heard. Look at verse number 5 with me. Watch what David says. "My soul shall be satisfied with marrow fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." It was David who said, "I have a God who keeps me satisfied. And He keeps me singing. I'm gonna have joy." How did David say this? "My mouth shall praise thee." Check out the wording here. With joyful lips. Not a complaining spirit. Not, "Oh, woe is me." But I'm going to praise thee with joyful lips. How do you praise with joyful lips during hard times? How do we go through a pandemic like 2020 and lose loved ones and can't see loved ones and man, our nation turned upside down? I mean, how do we praise Him during hard times? You see, satisfaction comes from being, now watch very carefully, don't lose me here, satisfaction comes from being more like our Savior. In fact, the psalmist said it like this in Psalm 17 and verse number 15. As for me, watch now, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, the more you and I are like our Savior, the more joy we find even in sorrow, even in difficult times. You say, Pastor, how does that make sense? I mean, how does that even work? We go through hard times and we go through difficult circumstances, yet we can praise Him and even have a smile on our face or be joyful during those tough times. Absolutely. Because, see, the more you and I take on our Savior, the more you and I take on our God, the more you and I take on His attributes and His attitudes, the more you and I get into this Word, the more you and I are like Him, then what you and I are going to realize very quickly, watch now, that this world is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Everything that we work for, everything we want, everything that we think is a priority in life, to be honest with you, if we really tune in and listen, it really ought not to be a priority because it's going to be gone. That means for all of us that are saved in this room today, do you realize that most likely, for a large part, in the next 100 years, none of us in this room is going to be here? Think about that. 100 years goes very fast. Gone. It's over. Well, the Bible says it's like a vapor. I'm looking around and see any really babies in this room, so we probably could cut it down and say within the next 70 years, most of us are not going to be in this room. I'm probably not going to be in this room. If I live to be 107, bless God, but I don't think it's going to happen. The more we're like Him, the more we begin to comprehend this world is not where we're settling down in. This world's not where it is at. Carrie has to not get on to me, but in a good wife way, as gentlemen, we all know. She has to kind of pat my hand sometimes because we just built a house. And we praise the Lord, just right down the road. It's everything we ever wanted. And we're so excited about it. And in that house is brand new walls with paint that is brand new. Don't you love just the smell of paint? Oh, you don't? Okay, well, whatever. I do. So maybe I'm the only weird one, but I like it. Why? It's fresh. It's clean. It looks good. It's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. It's this light gray color. Oh, it's so nice. But I'm telling you right now, I'm raising 5 kids and we have a standard poodle. Can I just say, a brand new house with new, clean, fresh painted walls and 5 kids under 11 years old and a standard poodle. How do I put this? They just don't go together. At the end of the day, kids, look, you go up the stairs. When you go up the stairs, I've literally got them all 5 kids, and our poodle's sitting there too, wagging his tail. I said, when you go up the stairs, look what's right here. What's this called? I don't know. It's called a banister, okay? You put your hand on that banister, and you go up the stairs like this. You grab the banister. You don't need to go to the other side that happens to have no banister and put your hands going all the way up the fresh painted walls. And my wife comes in. She's just the sweetest woman, I'm telling you. I married a good old girl. And she always just pats me like this. You know what that means? Shut up. Just be quiet. I reminded. Yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. Isn't it funny, Carrie, the day after we have this conversation, some dude on a bobcat backed into our house and took out close to the same wall that I was getting onto our kids about. You know what God told me? It's temporary, man. Son, it's temporary. This isn't forever. It's our forever home. I've said that 3 times. This is our forever home. Nope. Oh, I love this car. I'm going to keep this car until the wheels fall off.
3 years later, the lease is up. You know what? I think it's time for a new car. Look. Oh, the iPhone. Oh, the Samsung Galaxy. It's the best phone, smartest phone ever. I'm just telling you, this thing is amazing. 2 years later, the thing will barely keep a charge. You know what I'm saying? It's here for a little while, then it fadeth away. How do we go through tough times? How do we get through difficult moments? You and I begin to take on who God is. And we take on who God is, we begin to concentrate on what God concentrates on. And we understand that this world is not our home. How come there are many who can go through life and they're handed bad news? And you've got cancer, you've got this, this doesn't look good, we got to do some more tests there. I've always thought to myself, how can someone be handed serious news like that, like and maybe stage 3 or stage 4 of whatever, fill in the blank, and a person, no matter what their age, is totally fine with it. They're okay. They're moving through. How is it that the lost world is down and oppressed and out, and I just can't believe it, and my life is over, but yet how can a Christian get news like that and be perfectly fine with it? Because they begin to take on the mind of Christ, and they understand that, yes, like David, maybe they've been run from the kingdom, or like David, maybe things are going their way, or maybe like David, they're not on the mountaintop anymore, but even through that desert time, they comprehend that this body, we only have it for a little while. Check it out. One day, all of us are going to be in heaven, and we all get new bodies. Somebody say amen. So I'm sitting like, God, I kind of like my body. Well, look, buddy, I'll just be honest. I cannot wait to have a new body. I don't ever have to worry about cholesterol again. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to worry about it at all. We don't have to worry about cancer anymore. Isn't that amazing? All the doctors in heaven, they're all going to lose their jobs. There's no doctors, no nurses, no anesthesiologists. You know, there's no pain medication in heaven. Yeah, see, you know, it's all, I think George is the only one that's kind of getting this. You know what I'm saying? There's no more pills. There's no more prescriptions. There's no more health care system. Like, we all get a glorified body. Can we not rejoice in that? Like, if you can't get excited about praising God, you and I at least ought to be excited about no more sprained ankles, no more eyeglasses, no more contacts, no more hearing aids, no more cancer, no more strife, no more trouble. In fact, the Bible says He's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. Somebody say amen. It's God. There's no more. We just get to rejoice with Him. We get to praise Him. We get to run around. Somebody says, well, I've been working my whole life, I got my savings, and I got my 401k, and I got this. Can I just tell you, friend, look, up in heaven, we don't need any money here to take with us. It's gone. It's not. We don't need it. In fact, what we treasure the most, this is hilarious, this is God's humor, what we cherish the most down here, gold, happens to be our pavement up there. It's what we walk on. A street of gold. See, we concentrate on our problems, you know, we get problems. We concentrate our time and energy and our priorities on Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We concentrate on Him, our whole mindset changes. But look what the Word of God says here. Look what it says. We have a personal satisfaction as heard, but then we have a preeminent view of God. Look at verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David's not tossing and turning upon his bed, fretting over the things that he cannot control. No, when insomnia drove sleep from his eyes, he had a sure remedy. Instead of brooding over his troubles, he would think instead about God. Friend, we saw it in Psalm chapter 1, but what do you and I think about in the evening, in the morning? The psalmist wrote, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Our view of God is going to come from whatever you and I are filling our head with. And for a moment, David is pausing here, and he's rejoicing in the good times. He's meditating on God. He's been driven from the kingdom. His own son has betrayed him. This is not a good scenario. His life is in danger, and yet still he can lay down and sleep at night. Why? Because God was always on his mind. And friend, in the day and age that you and I live, we can fill our mind with all kinds of garbage. We can fill it with all kinds of news. We can fill it with all kinds of depressing facts. Can I just tell you, friend, whether we know all about this virus or we don't, whether we know all about what's taking place around the globe or we don't, friend, it's the way that you and I choose to dwell on it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. There are many even in this very room who would sleep better at night if we turn off the TV and get our eyes in the very book, the Word of God, and allow it to begin to seep into our very minds. Is it funny? How opinionated we have become based on facts that change from day to day. In a lot of things. From politics to sports to the coronavirus to all of it combined. It's amazing. We've become very opinionated. Friend, opinions, you ready for this? Opinions change. They do. Look, politicians and politics change. They shift. Friend, styles change. Which actually I'm kind of glad about, because I saw the other day a picture, it was back in the 70s, and there was these things called bell bottoms. I am so glad we do not still wear bell bottoms. Those are the ugliest things I've ever seen, like huge bells at the bottom of your feet. Styles change. You ready for this? Science? Uh-oh. Science changes. We're going by science. Let me just tell you, there's a lot of good in science. I thank the Lord for science. Let's just be frank. Science changes. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. We can concentrate and get down depressed and, oh, I can't believe that Facebook said this. Oh, CBS said this. Oh, my favorite commentator said this. Oh, my doctor said this. Oh, can I just say, we can get down and depressed and, boy, we can just be hurt and it's ugly and it's awful. Or you and I can have a preeminent view of God and comprehend that if we start filling our head with Him, friend, is going to give us a joy. It's going to give us a peace that at times you and I cannot even comprehend. Why? Because the God of this universe does not change. And you and I are going to spend an eternity with Him. And you and I, look, when everything else changes, we still have a book that does not change. Nor has it ever been wrong. Now, just by raising hand, let's just play for a minute. How many in this room, now I'm going to be looking around. How many in this room have ever been wrong before? Would you participate? Would you raise your hand? Now I'm looking around because I'm going to preach on lying next week. I don't see anybody's hand up. And all the wives are hitting their husbands. Yeah, you've been wrong a lot in your life. Of course we've been wrong. We've all been wrong. We've made bad choices, mistakes. Do you know that this Bible has never been wrong? You know why? Because it's a gift from a God who has never been wrong. It's a preeminent view of God, but watch this. There also is a position that is identified. Look at verse number 8 here with me. Look at verse number 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Look what it says. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, David going through this tough time. David running for his life. David, the kingdom is behind. But look at verse number 8. Look what it says. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. David said, look, I am following hard after you. You are the one. Your hand upholdeth me. He was walking in a dangerous place with Absalom just absolutely raging war on him. Yet David crept closer to God and he clave to him. God's almighty hand came down and upheld him. He's going through this difficult time, and yet here was our Savior, and he had him. He had him. Was there anyone else that encouraged David? Maybe, but the psalmist doesn't say. Was there somebody else that was with him? Yeah, but David didn't include it in there. The Holy Spirit didn't have him pin it. David going through this difficult time, to watch very carefully. And yet, the Bible says that he was following hard after who? His God. This past Christmas, we were on our way here, and we had moved across the country, and it's Christmas week, and we were over with Carrie's parents in Ohio. And Carrie's dad is an avid hunter, and he invited Tommy and I to go with a group coon hunting. Now, I had never been coon hunting before, but yeah, let's do it. And it was, I'm telling you what, it was freezing cold outside. It was a clear night. And they got somebody in the church, they came over with a coon dog. And I don't know if anybody's ever been coon hunting before, but I'm telling you what, it was so exciting. And I don't know, you just feel like a man out there in the woods, you're all bundled up, and you know, you got your shotgun, you know what I mean? They gave me one bullet because they call me Barney. But anyways, they we're able to carry a gun around, and we get out there, and it's in the middle of the night, and they bring this dog over. We're going in woods that I had never been in before. We're doing something I had never done before. We're in an area, it's pitch black, you can't turn on flashlights, and here's this dog, trying to go all out there, and you got to whisper, and you got to be real quiet, and so we're all being real quiet, and we're following our guide, and he's saying, okay, tracking the dog, going this way, everybody be real quiet, we got this group, and I'm out there, and I got Tommy, my little 11-year-old son, with me. I'm telling you, it was cold. Then the forest that we were in was really muddy, like super, super muddy. Some parts were starting to be frozen, but it had not gotten there yet. Other parts, I'm telling you, could sink down up to here in mud. And we're going through, and it's limbs and it's trees, and you can't use a flashlight, and you're carrying a gun. It's just, I mean, it's telling you, it was a little difficult. I'm not complaining. I'm a real man, you know what I mean? But I'm just telling you, with my 11-year-old son, I was a little bit worried about him. I was concerned, but I was concerned about my son being out there. Yeah, I noticed after a little while, my son, 11-year-old, was not struggling at all. I honestly was like, man, this kid, I'm telling you what, he's a shepherd, all right, good bloodline there, real tough, get out there in the woods, and yeah, I'm telling you, he's making it. Well, I realized about halfway into this hunt, which we've never even saw a raccoon or anything, but I realized about halfway through this hunt, when I'm freezing cold, when I'm going through, when I'm trying to get rid of the trees, when I'm going through mud, my boots are completely soaked, my hands are frozen. We get through, I never heard my son complain. I never heard him, I mean, it's happened the time of his life. But halfway through, I realized, you ready for this? Tommy was following Dad very closely. When I was going through the limbs and putting them back, Tommy's right here. They missed him completely. When I didn't know where to step and I'm pulling out my shoes to get through this mud, Tommy's coming right behind me and just stepping in the mud. Right behind me. No big deal. None at all. When I couldn't see and I'm getting through and everything's aimed at me, I just thought, Tommy was right there and he made it every step of the way. We got back, some bruises on me. I got back, had a scratch right here. I got my SpongeBob SquarePants, little bitty Band-Aid, put it right there, baby. It's tough. You know what David's saying here? Now watch. I'm going through a tough time. You know who I'm following? God. See, oftentimes when we go through tough times in our life, we want to chase everything and everyone else. We want to go out on our own. And man, this is hard and this is muddy. And oh, life is so difficult. And I don't understand why these limbs of life are trying to tear me apart. And people talking about me and going through this awful time. And the doctor, what they've given me. And I don't even like life anymore. It's just so cold and it's so muddy. And it's so, I'm just like, to be honest with you, I'm almost over this. When David's saying, look, I'm making it through perfectly. Why? Because he followed the God who was walking before him. And friend, may I say today, in a day and age like 2021, may you and I not go out on our own. May you and I not swiftly be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, or be down and depressed at a doctor's appointment, or way over here because of financial troubles, or way over here because of marriage problems. No, at that point, may you and I get behind our Savior who is saying, son, just follow me. Daughter, get behind me. Just hang on tight. I'll get you through this storm. You'll come through untouched. Why? Because we have a God in heaven that's not sitting there making fun of us and pull yourself out of the mud. Get up and quit being a baby. No, we have a God in heaven that cares and loves us and is reaching down. And during those difficult times is carrying us, or maybe putting us behind and saying, look, the troubles of this life, you just follow me. I'll get rid of them for you. You know what? These deep and dark spots, just follow in my footsteps. I'm going to get you through. Friend, what I'm saying today is, it does not matter what struggle you're going through. It doesn't matter what trial you're going through. If you and I take Psalm 63 serious, friend, you and I have a Savior that would always see us through. Always. It doesn't matter. Well, you understand what my situation is. Yeah, you're probably right. Well, you've never walked a day in my shoes. Yeah, you're right. But I'll tell you who has. Jesus. And you know what he said? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always going to be there. And when you and I are going through life and we can't comprehend why us, why me, why am I, why does this, when we're going through those moments, may you and I grab onto the back of our Savior and walk with Him and be in His Word and stop letting go and getting back here and being afraid and, oh, this is hard and this isn't right and this hurts. No, may you and I get behind the Savior that said, look, friend, cast all your care upon me, for I careth for you. Now look, everybody watch up here for just a second. I'm almost done. I promise you that. Well, watch. Is that always easy to do? It's really not. Let's just get to the nitty gritty for a second. That's not always just, oh yeah, aye aye, Captain. That's exactly what we need to do. That's so easy. No. Getting the news you have stage 3 or stage 4, whatever, it hurts. Watching a teenager that you raised and you love, you supported, you gave time to, hit 17, 18 and start turning their back on God, that hurts. A marriage that was strong and we're in love and we're going to do life together and life is one big adventure, and find out that that person has had a relationship with someone else, friend, it's not something anybody just clicks their heels at. It's tough. Well, Pastor, I don't understand then. If we're supposed to draw close to Him, if this is what David's talking about here, if my soul falleth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth thee, I mean, if that's God, then, I mean, how do we get through? How do we do it? It's good. I'm glad we're thinking. See, God, friend, never promised you and I that life was going to be easy. Now, look, I know there's pastors out there and televangelists that say, you just give your life to the Lord and you're going to be blessed and have millions of dollars in the bank. And you just do this. And your whole life, has our life changed? Yes, without a doubt. But can I tell you this? We're all going to struggle through life. Why? Because it's life. Because this ground is cursed. These bodies are. So then, Pastor, I don't understand. If it's bad news, it's hard to get through, then how do we get through it? Here's how we get through it. We just stay close to the Lord. And in those times of doubt, or in those times of struggle, or in those times of maybe it's not just time for a call to the mother-in-law or mom or dad, or maybe it's just not time to gossip just yet, or try to seek advice from everybody else. Maybe at that moment we stop, take a deep breath, and be still and know that I am God. And that He's going to carry us through those tough times. Is death hurt? Without a doubt. Is cancer hurt? Yes. Is the problem in our society, our nation, without a doubt, bringing us down? Absolutely. What do we do? We have to get back to a verse number 8 and find our position in the God that loves us and wants to protect us. Now watch very carefully and we'll be done. I want you to look at the last verses here, verse number 9. Now watch very carefully. Verse number 9, it says this. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. A strong wording there. Verse number 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Friend, you and I, without a doubt, live in a day and age. Now, please don't shut your Bibles just yet, but watch. We live in a day and age where this Bible is very much hated. Hollywood is not for the Word of God. They hate it. Many politicians and many laws that are being signed, it's slowly but surely creeping in to get us farther away from this book. It's why they took schools out of prayer out of schools. It's why they don't want prayers opening up our legislation system. It's why that constantly we are berated. We are made fun of. I'll tell you why. Look, the Bible says we're going to suffer persecution for His name's sake. It's coming. Not everybody this past week that maybe you handed a tract to was all kicks and giggles and, wow, this is wonderful. It's the best news I ever had. Maybe somebody tore it up and threw it back. Maybe somebody threw it in the trash, or maybe someone denied it. Friend, you see, I'm afraid America has gotten to the point in Christianity where we have so concentrated on what everybody is doing bad and wrong and wicked, and we have forgotten about the God who came to save them. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's not pastor. Yeah, you need to get them. Yeah, you need to blog about them. Yeah, you need to, no, what I need to do is get the gospel in their hands. I need to remember that I am saved and sanctified and loved by my Savior. I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Do you know what this lost world needs? Do you know what Marion County needs? Do you know what our mayor needs? Jesus. Are people mean to us? Without a doubt. This is David saying. Look, there's liars. There's those that, I mean, he's not in a good position right here. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, you know what he's saying? God will have His vengeance one day. We have to concentrate on staying close to Him so that we love what He loves. Now watch. I said it at the beginning of the service. Next week is Easter Sunday. There's going to be some people that walk in all of these doors. And I would say many of them will gravitate over to this side because it's, at times, it's kind of like your balcony section. It's kind of to itself, or back here, or way in the back. Or no, there's not a visitor in this place that, to be honest with you, there's not a member of this place that wants to sit right up front. There's nobody. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. I might get on the camera. You know, he spits a lot. And, you know, I'm afraid he doesn't wear a mask while he preaches. Whatever the case might be. But still, let me just put it this way. You and I have to make them feel loved and comfortable. Now, you ready for this? Not everybody's going to like this, but just go along with it. They ought to feel loved and welcomed by us. Leave the conviction to to this Bible. Well, they don't look like, well, they didn't even sing. Well, oh, this is not just getting exhausting. You know what they need? Come on in. Come, sit right up here. You're gonna love this hymn. You probably never heard it before. That's okay. I'll sing extra loud for you. Just find your part. You know what they don't need? A lofty look. Ah, you're not welcome here. Oh, I've heard about you. Well, guess what? God's heard about all of us. He knows our heart. God's going to get the glory, the honor, and the vengeance one day. It's not up to us. What do? We got to stay close to Him. Friend, let me put it like this, and I'm done. What is it this last week that you're struggling with? Think about it. Just think. Okay, now that you've got it, have you drawn closer to Him? No, not really. I've done a lot of research, but I really haven't. Okay, maybe this morning is the time. Let me ask you, is your marriage hurting? First thing we need to do, is not call all of our girlfriends and all of our guy friends. First thing we need to do, we need to get right up here and just start talking to Him. Well, I don't know. That spends a lot of pressure. Well, what have we been talking about? Did you get bad news this week from a doctor? You're the first thing we ought to do? Come around. Let's get right up here. Let's just start praying. I don't know what you're struggling with in your life, but I'm here to tell you, there's a God that does. And friend, He loves you. And He gives us this daily reminder, no matter what you're going through, child, I am here with you.